know, as you know, I had spent all of my time before in the private sector. So this is my first opportunity to serve, and I've really enjoyed getting to know so many talented people across government. And I think we're off to a good start. We have some good early results and much work ahead, but I think we're making some real changes to make the government more effective and more efficient, to make citizen services more user-friendly.
So we always get into this public versus private sector, how they compare, how they contrast. What's your initial take so far?
Well, the scale of the federal government is very, very different than any private sector company. So the size of the agencies and the departments is very different than what anyone would experience in the private sector. What is very similar is the talent of the people. And at the end of the day, all of us know that people drive performance. And I'm extremely impressed by the talent level and the commitment of federal workers throughout departments and agencies.
One of the frustrations that I often hear from folks who haven't been doing government before is the length of time it takes to change some things. Have you found that? I mean, you guys have been moving pretty quickly. Have you? But is there a frustration there?
You know, Chris, I think it comes back again to the size. I think it makes prioritization that much more important. So figuring out the handful of priorities is important in any setting, given the scale and the complexity of the federal government. Prioritization is even more important. But what I've found is when you focus on something, given the talent and the commitment of the workforce, you can get things done.
And the workforce, I mean, a lot of folks very focused, and actually I took you guys, well, took your boss, I guess, to task a couple weeks ago by talking about this missed transformation, that the federal government has missed the transformation of IT. My sense is that a lot of these programs, as you look at Sentinel or the ones that are, you know, troubled, they know they're troubled. The challenge is, how do you then fix them?
Yes, and I don't think that... I don't want that to be misinterpreted in any way. I do think we have too many large-scale IT projects that run over budget and behind schedule. That said, IT is difficult in any sector, yeah. And I think our workforce is certainly committed to doing as good a job as we can do. We need to make things easier by making sure that projects are scaled appropriately, that they have the right milestones, and that senior political leaders and leaders across government work together, and that we don't attempt to do these large-scale IT projects just in the silo of technology, but that instead there's cross-functional senior ownership.
And my sense always has been, yeah, there's these are difficult. If you're rolling out a big financial management system, this is difficult whether you're in the public or private sector. These are large, complex systems, and as you said, the scale of government makes them even larger and more complex.
I totally agree. There's certainly many times large IT projects fail in the private sector also. I think the frequency is higher here, in part because of the scale, and then also too often we set out to do too much at once, and rather we should be doing this in smaller modules and making sure that we have checkpoints along the way. And if things are not making it, that we recognize that and either rescope or terminate the project.
And so almost 20 years ago, one of the predecessors of Mr. Orzog, Franklin Raines, had what he called the Raines rules, and one of them was do things on this small modular approach. So we've known this to be something that we should do, and yet it doesn't happen. Why doesn't it happen, and how are you guys not going to fall into that same trap where all of a sudden we're looking 20 years from now and saying, oh yeah, it's the Zients rules, and those didn't have an impact either?
I think the most important thing is for us to focus on the largest, most troubled projects, ensure that we get them on the right path, then show that we can get good results. And as we get good results, that will build momentum and begin to shift the expectations and shift the culture. So we're very focused on not trying to do everything at once, but rather get some early wins where projects have been rescoped in a way that they lead to better functionality faster, and then take that learning and spread it across government.
How much of those issues end up being systemic, and particularly the budget process, which I know is the other side of the, you're the M, the other side is the B, but, you know, we often go through the process. Agencies will submit their to the larger agency. They say, oh, we're not going to be able to afford that. They cut it back. That gets submitted to OMB. It gets cut back some more. It gets submitted to Congress. Gets cut back some more. And by the end, the actual money allocated isn't anything. Everyone knows there's a disconnect there. How much of that kind of systemic disconnect is part of this problem?
You know, I don't think that's one of the main root causes here. I think the main root causes are making sure that we have senior ownership, that projects are scoped appropriately, that we're constantly tracking, and where things are off track, that we make mid-course corrections. So I think, again, there are differences, going back to your earlier question, between the private sector and public sector, and certainly Congress and the appropriation process is part of that. But at the same time, I think there's plenty that we can do to manage projects better.
Let me touch on the SAVE Awards, because I know that's one of your big initiatives. It's second round of SAVE Awards. First off, for people who may not have heard about them, tell us what the SAVE Awards are.
The SAVE Award is an effort to reach out to the frontline workers across government to generate the best ideas on how we can do what the president has asked us to do, which is to make the government more effective and more efficient. And, you know, from my private sector experience and now having seen last year's SAVE Award, I know that many of the best ideas are with the frontline workers. Last year we had 38,000 ideas submitted.
Wow.
Many of those were implemented. And these were ideas that save money and make government services more friendly. So the president hosted the winner of the SAVE Award last year during the snowstorm, the woman from Grand Junction, Colorado, who had the very good idea of ensuring that veterans were able to keep their prescription drugs when they left the hospital and take them home rather than having them thrown out and have to reorder those drugs. So a good idea that is going to save us millions of dollars. And the president at that point said, based on this success, we want to run this SAVE Award each year. So we launched the second SAVE Award about a week ago. And we're really excited to get as many good ideas, because they're out there with the front line, as we can, and to ensure that those ideas are in turn implemented.
When you get 38,000 responses, what do you do then?
You know, it's a good problem to have. Meaning, there were many, many good ideas. We sifted through them. Eventually, we had a final four, and the public actually voted on the ideas. And the idea that I mentioned earlier was the winning idea. This year, we're going to deploy some new technology where we have people, federal workers, voting along the way, so that we can be refining ideas and determining what the best ideas are as the contest unfolds. And speaking of the contest, I'd love to make sure that we get the website out there. It's www.saveaward.gov, and I would encourage all your listeners to submit an idea or two or three as soon as possible.
And we'll have that linked up on federalnewsradio.com, because were you surprised by the number of things that came in, a number of ideas that came in, and were you surprised by the caliber, either that they people reaching too far or not reaching far enough?
You know, I was not knowing what to expect. It was during one of my first few months in office, and we had never done anything like this before. I was very impressed by both the quantity of the ideas and the quality of the ideas. You know, we have implemented ideas such as eliminating paper pay stubs and instead defaulting to electronic pay stubs. We have some of the agencies have stepped forward and fixed their cell phone plans so they better match their usage, something that all of us do as individual consumers, and we've saved a lot of money through that. So there are wide-ranging ideas, some of them very practical, some of them more innovative and far-reaching, and we encourage all ideas. No idea is a bad idea here, and we'd love to have a whole host of new ideas that we can implement going forward coming out of this year's award.
And the timeline for this is?
Will be the first phase of generating the ideas has about a week to go.